It's so good to be with you. I was actually going to say, since the schedule got thrown out the window, I would just go for an hour. You know, just we already threw it out the window anyways, right? It's so good to be with you guys. Yeah, I work with Basic College Ministries. I'm the director of Basic, and we partner with churches to start ministries on college campuses. And you've probably been hearing about how we're starting to work with you guys here, with Tian, who's been trained and sent here to be a part of your congregation here, and looking to get something going at GCC right here in your backyard. And we want to see students come to know Jesus on that campus. You may not know it, but college students are the most missing age group in the church today. They have been for a long time. And so our heart is to work with churches to combat that statistic, to help them plant a ministry on a campus where they can do it, and we resource them. And then from there, we get students connected into the church. And so I want to encourage you, as this ministry gets started, as students start coming into this church, don't be afraid of connecting with college students. Sometimes I feel like if we're older, we feel like, I don't know how I can relate or anything. Don't be afraid. Just go up and greet them. Say hello. Make yourself known. Begin to get to form relationships with them. Because this is meant to be an outreach that happens to the college, but also connects the college into the church. And that can only happen if you guys are here loving, welcoming, getting behind it, and supporting students as they come in, supporting TN as she's working with Todd and Cheryl and all the work that they're doing. And so I'm really excited for this, and I'm really excited to be in partnership with this church. And I thank you so much, Pastor Ryan, Pastor Marty, Pastor Aaron, for letting me be a part of this and for inviting me out tonight to share with you. Pastor Ryan, I had never heard you sing before, man. You got pipes. Dude, that was awesome. I got to tell you, on the way here, I'm from Lima, out where Elam is, and so it's about a 45-minute drive. And on the way here, I was just worshiping in my car, and I was getting excited for tonight. I was getting expectant. Now I know why. God wanted to move here tonight, but I just had this sense of him smiling down upon us tonight. He is smiling down upon us tonight, and he is so in love with you, and you are so just loved by him. And so I'm going to jump right in because we are changing the time up here. I want to talk to you tonight about new faith, new fire, new freedom tonight. And I want to start out by telling you about something that happened last year in 2018 out in Oregon. Nobody really knows how to say it, but Oregon changed the law to make people living in counties with less than 40,000 residents pump their own gas. Okay, up until this time, all gas stations were full serve in Oregon. Okay, so they changed it so that some of these cities now people had to pump their own gas, and people lost it. Okay, here's some things that people said on social media. This Mike Peroni said, "I've lived in this state all my life, and I refuse to pump my own gas. I had to do it once in California while visiting my brother, and I almost died doing it. This is a service only qualified people should perform. I will literally park at the pump and wait until someone pumps my gas. I can't even." Okay? Go on to the next one. Come on, guys. As New Yorkers, we're going to have a little fun at the expense of Oregonians tonight. Okay? Sandy said, "I don't even know how to pump gas, and I am 62, native Oregonian. I say no thanks. I don't want to smell like gasoline." I mean, people were really losing it at the idea of pumping their own gas. This other person said, "Yuck. Pumping my own fuel in freezing temperatures and handling a nasty old fuel nozzle that 50 other people have touched that day. And who knows what cooties are on there. No, thank you. It's nice to not have to pump your own fuel." Okay? People absolutely lost their minds. Now, the reason I'm sharing that with you tonight is because as humans, we naturally resist change. We naturally resist change. We often don't like new things at first. And tonight, as I said, I'm going to share with you about new faith, new fire, new freedom. And in Mark chapter 2, this won't be our main text for tonight, but I just want to use it to preface what we're going into. Jesus is bringing a new kingdom to the earth. And the Pharisees of that time, the religious leaders of that time, didn't know how to handle it. And things were getting shaken up for them. And they were questioning why Jesus was doing the things that he was doing and why it was so different from their rituals. And he said this to them in Mark chapter 2. He said, "No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins. And you've probably heard people preach on this message before. Maybe you said, I don't get what's going on here with the garments and the wineskins and all that. Essentially, what Jesus was trying to say to the Pharisees is, when God is doing something new, we need to be able to embrace it. We need to be ready to receive what he has for us. We need to open ourselves up to the new thing that he wants to do in us. And so I want to encourage you tonight to open yourself up to the new thing that God wants to do in you. I believe God wants to do something new in each one of us tonight. It might be a little challenging. It might be a little stretching. It might get you out of your comfort zone. But it's great that Pastor Marty was saying, who wants more of God tonight? Because that's essentially what I'm going after tonight. Okay, God just set the stage for us tonight. And I was like, okay, I don't even know if I need to get up there. Like, my job is done. Okay, but I want to encourage you to open yourself up tonight to the new thing that God has for you. And I want us to look at the prophet Elisha's encounter with a widow as we talk about the concept of God doing something new in our lives. And so we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 4. The verses will be up on the screen. But let me give you the setup of what's happening here in 2 Kings 4. Okay, Elisha was a prophet in Israel, and one of the other prophets, probably one of Elisha's friends, he had just recently died, and he left behind a wife and two sons when he died. Now, at this time, if you owed someone money and you couldn't pay it, either you or your children would become that person's slave to work off the debt. And so this prophet dies, and he leaves behind a debt that he didn't pay off. And now his sons are going to be put into slavery to pay off this debt. And this woman who's been left as a widower comes to Elisha, and she's asking for his help to keep this from happening. And let's see what happens here in 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.' And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?' And she said, 'Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil.'" Okay, stop here for just a minute. Okay, this woman was in a place of desperation. Her children were about to be taken from her by a debt collector. Can you imagine, those of you who have children in the room, your children about to be taken from you after your husband just passed away? She's in a place of desperation. And we can see also that she's in a place of hunger, right? She says she has nothing in the house except a small jar of oil. She has no food. She has nothing in the house. She's just in this place of desperation and hunger. But it was desperation and hunger that led the widow and her sons to the point of seeing God's power displayed. We're going to see God move in a powerful way. But hunger moves the hand of God. God loves the people who hunger after more of him. Can I give you a mind-blowing revelation tonight? People aren't hungry. People who aren't hungry don't need to be fed. I know, right? People who aren't hungry don't need to be fed. And so we can think about that in the physical, but we can think about that in the spiritual too, right? If you feel like you are content with where you're at with God, if you feel like you have everything you need and you don't want to go any deeper with him, you don't need to be fed. But God has so much more for you if you would come to him out of a place of desperation and hunger. I'm sure this woman had tried everything she could think of to pay off this debt. She had sold most of her belongings. We see she has just this jar of oil, right? She tried all the common old ways of doing things, but now she was desperate for God to move in a new way. Is there anyone here tonight you would say, I've tried all the things, all the ways of the world. I've tried different things to see breakthrough in an area that I'm struggling with in my life. I'm struggling with this issue. I'm struggling with this situation. I'm struggling with this addiction. And I need God to do something new tonight in me. I need to come to him with desperation and hunger. I believe God wants to give you new faith for what he's going to do in you tonight. And what I love is she just has this small pot of oil. In fact, when I studied the scriptures, I found out it was an anointing oil, similar to the one that Pastor Marty had up here. Okay, it wasn't like this big jar of oil. It was this small jar of oil. That's all she had, this woman. But God will take the very little that we have, and he'll use it
in powerful ways if we give it to him. And so this woman gives this vessel, of this little jar of oil. This is what Elisha says in verse 3. He says to her, he says, go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of a weird command, right? Go outside to your neighbors, borrow vessels and not too few. What does not too few even mean, right? Does that mean five? Does that mean ten? Like, anybody wish God would give them better detailed instructions sometimes, okay? It was a weird command. In fact, when I first moved into the apartments that I live in now out in Lima, we have an apartment building that we're in, and there's people all around, and we had just moved in, and my wife is a great baker, great cook. She makes the most amazing food. And she'd be in the middle of making something, and all of a sudden she'd be like, Chris, I just realized I'm short half a cup of flour. Can you go around to the neighbors and ask them for half a cup of flour? And I'm like, honey, we just moved in here. Like, that's not really the way that I want to introduce myself to the neighbors. That's weird. That's awkward. She'd be like, no, you can't go to the store. I don't have time. It's going to mess up my timing on everything. You got to go. And so I'd go around sheepishly, knock on the door. Hi, yeah, I'm Chris. I'm your new neighbor. Nice to meet you. Yeah, do you have a half a cup of flour that I could borrow? It was weird. It was awkward. I can only imagine how weird it must have been for this woman as she's walking around to her neighbors asking them for empty vessels. It must have been so awkward. But she had to use everything she had, and she had to exercise her faith. Exercising our faith when the Holy Spirit speaks can be scary. It can be challenging. It can really get us out of our comfort zone. But God wants to see us step out in faith. And as we do, he begins to move in miraculous ways. Listen, if you want to see God's kingdom come in this community, in this church, in this region, you're going to have to overthrow some comfort in your life and step out in faith in order to see God move. Okay? God wants to give you new faith tonight, but you're going to have to overthrow something in order to get there. Elisha made this woman do this. He was the man of God. He was the prophet. He could have done it for her, but he knew that she needed to participate in order to see God move. She had to trust God herself. And as I mentioned, he said, make sure you don't gather too few, right? Remember how he said, make sure you don't gather too few. What can we see by that? God isn't concerned with us asking too much of him. He's concerned about us asking too little. God is not concerned that you're going to ask too much of him. He has every resource you could ever need. He's concerned that you're going to come to him with small dreams, small questions, small things, and you're going to ask too little of him. And listen, he cares about every little thing, but he wants to see you accomplish and go after so much more than what you're going after right now. Would you seek him for new faith tonight? Faith is what moves the hand of God. Who here thinks they have enough faith tonight? Not a single hand goes up. Well, guess what? You do. You see, the scriptures say if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. How often do we get it wrong? We say if we have faith the size of mountains, we can move mustard seeds. We get it backwards. God wants to do something incredible through you. All you need is a little bit of faith. And God asked this woman to bring empty vessels because an empty vessel is ready to be poured into. He doesn't ask you to come all prepared. He doesn't ask you to come with your Bible memorized backwards and forwards. He just says, come to me empty and let me pour into you. Let me pour into you tonight. Let's keep going in this portion of scripture here. Then in verse 4, Elisha continues. He says, go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another. Then the oil stopped flowing. Vessel after vessel, oil after oil coming from this little jar, filling up these big vessels. And it just keeps coming and keeps coming. Can I tell you, had she borrowed more, more would have been provided. Had she gathered less, less would have been provided. What can we see? The flow of God's presence in your life is not just up to God. It's also determined by you. Now, don't hear me wrong. It's not something we have to strive for in any way. It's not something that we have to work ourselves up for, but it is something we have to open ourselves up to receive. You have God in the measure in which you desire him. And he'll only give you as much as you make room for. So I'm challenging you tonight because I want you to be a vessel that comes to him open and ready to be filled up and poured into. The Holy Spirit is always doing something new. And he's already always ready to do something new in you. You know, we serve a creative God. That's the very nature of who he is, right? In the beginning, God created. It's the very first thing that we learn about him. He is creating all the time. He hasn't stopped. He didn't create the world and then he stopped. No, he's still creating. It's his nature. It's who he is. And he's doing something new every moment of every single day. And he's asking you to partner with him and be a part of that. He wants to do something new in you, and he wants to do something new through you. And so I believe that God wants to give you new fire tonight. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you afresh tonight so that you can receive all that he has for you, and then you can bless others outside those doors. Sometimes we get a little freaked out by the Holy Spirit. I'll be honest, I get freaked out by the Holy Spirit sometimes because I've seen crazy things happen when the Holy Spirit is moving. But the Holy Spirit is just a third person of the Trinity. We're fine with Jesus. We're fine with God the Father. Holy Spirit, for some reason, we struggle with. But he's just the third person of the Trinity. The Bible says that he's our comforter. Who here could use some comfort tonight? The Bible says that he's our counselor. Who says, I could use some wisdom tonight. I could use somebody to listen to me tonight and just give me some advice on what to do. The Bible says he's our helper. Who here says, I could use some help tonight. I need new help from the Holy Spirit. You see, there's new fire that he wants to pour out on you tonight. And as you receive new faith, as you receive new fire, there's a new freedom that comes upon you tonight. We were praying for that for a number of people here tonight. Freedom coming in this place. Look what happens next. It says, she came and told the man of God what had happened with the oil. And he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest. You see, her obedience paved the way for God to provide miraculously. And all of a sudden, her sons were free, right? They never had to be in slavery. Not only that, what I love about God is that he gives us more than enough to meet our needs. He didn't just get them from being out of slavery. He provided for them the rest of their lives. Can you imagine never having to worry about finances again? That's what happened here, because God has more than enough to meet your needs, and he wants to meet your needs. You see, when this happened, this widow's life was completely transformed. It wasn't just a moment in time. It was something that changed her life forever. And I believe that God doesn't come to us just wanting us to have a moment here on Sunday, a moment here on Thursday, a moment here, a moment there. But he wants to do something that transforms our lives, that completely upends our ideas of him, that completely upends the things that we're struggling with, the things that we're facing, and he transforms our lives completely. And so I want to ask you one more time as I wrap up tonight. Are you willing to open yourself up to receive all that God has for you tonight? To let down your guard, to be open to new things that he wants to do in your heart. You know, a couple of years back, God was asking me that question. He was saying, Chris, are you open to receive all that I have for you? And to be honest, I was going back and forth with him a little bit. I was wrestling with him a little bit. Because as I said, some of those things that I've seen happen before, they're just a little awkward. I grew up in a Pentecostal, charismatic setting. I firmly believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. But people falling on the floor, people laughing uncontrollably, like some of that stuff just messes me up, man. I'm just being real with you guys tonight. And so I was like, Lord, I don't know if I want all that you have for me. I'm not sure. And God began to challenge me. He was saying, Chris, do you want everything that I have for you, even if it doesn't look the way that you want it to look? And after wrestling back and forth with the Lord, I came to a conclusion that if anything is from God, no matter what it is, and whether it looks strange to me, no matter what it looks like, if it's something that's from God, then I want it. I trust him enough to know that he has something for me, it's going to be a good thing. It's going to be a good thing. It's going to bring freedom in my life. It's going to bring healing in my life. It's going to impact the world around me. And so at that point, I began to saying to God, God, I want everything you promised me in your word. I want to see miracles. I want to see healings. I want to prophesy. I want greater levels of discernment. I want the joy that you promised in your word, God. And I just began saying, I want it all. Whatever it is, Lord, you have for me. And so I want to ask you tonight, would you stand with me? Just close your eyes. Will you open yourself up tonight? Will you step out in faith like this widow? Will you put yourself in a place of desperation and hunger before him and make room for all that he has for you? Maybe you're facing some things where you're saying, I don't know how to get through this. I don't know what to do in this situation. I can't find freedom in this area. I'm struggling with it over and over again. Maybe you're in a place where you need a counselor tonight. Maybe you're in a place where you need a comforter tonight. Maybe you're in a place where you need a healer tonight, or a provider tonight, or a helper tonight. And God is saying, I'm right here for you. Will you open yourself up to receive all that I have, even if it doesn't look the way you want it to look? You've tried it your way, now try it mine. If that's you, would you just put your hands out in front of you just as a way of saying, yeah, I'm opening myself up to all that he has for me tonight. I'm going to receive from him tonight. Holy Spirit, come right now in this place. Come right now. Move upon these people. Come and touch us, Lord God. Jesus, Jesus. Holy Spirit, pour yourself out whatever way you want to do it tonight. Not our will be done, but yours. Not our ways, Father God. We're not going to put you in a box tonight. We're not going to expect you to do it a certain way, Father God. We're just going to surrender to you, Holy Spirit. And whatever way you want to do it tonight, we open ourselves up to it tonight. I was sensing that somebody has pain in their back. Is there anybody here that has pain in their back? Okay. A couple different people. All right. Before we end, I know we're going a little long here, but if somebody needs healing, we're going to pray for healing, right? So let's just grab somebody who raised their hand real quick. Raise those hands up high if you had pain in your back. Just grab them. We're going to begin to pray over them. God's going to bring healing right now. I believe that. Father, we thank you for your healing power coming upon them right now. Holy Spirit, move. We thank you that you desire to heal. That you love to heal us. That you don't leave us the way we are right now, Father God. Come and bring healing into those backs. Strength coming right now. Discs and bones moving into alignment. Total healing coming in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are present in this place, that you love us so much, that you smile down upon us, and you're doing something awesome in this place tonight.
Amen. Amen. Would you give our friend Chris Ziegler a big hand tonight? Just before I dismiss you, I'm going to send you right off, but we're reading a book right now, and one of the men have to help me with the name of it. What is it? Truly Free. Thank you, Shane. Good boy. Truly Free. Robert Morris wrote the book, and I couldn't help that everything that happened here tonight, it addresses a lot of what that book addresses. There are probably 5 books left out on that back table. If you want one, go grab it. If you don't, if they're gone, go on Amazon. They're like $14. It's one of the best books that I've been involved reading. I think God's doing not only something in that Bible study, but something in the house of the Lord because of that study. So we love you. Chris, thank you so much for being here. And I want to thank you in front of the church. Thank you for your heart for a generation. Because I know that you're giving up so much to do what you're doing. And tonight, would you just stretch your hand towards him? Lord, we bless him tonight. Father, we bless his wife, his beautiful family. Father, we ask that your hand would be on them. I just ask, Lord, Chris, the last time we talked about a few things financially. And I really felt the Lord, when you walk in here tonight, brought me back to that conversation. And God's going to give you some breakthrough in that area. So, Father, we just bless him tonight. We ask that your blessing would rest upon him. Thank you that you're protecting him and keeping him in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we love you. Sunday is going to be, look at your neighbor and say, Sunday's going to be the bomb. We love you. Have a great night.